One of the things that the people of God have systematically and regularly become very, very good at is worrying, haven't we? Worrying. And sometimes it seems like the faith community called the Church of Jesus Christ has less faith than anyone else in society today. Where many times we do not trust in God and fully rely on His power and His presence in our lives. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, he was talking to the Christians in Ephesus regarding their salvation. And he says to them, "It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Salvation, he says, is a gift of God. It's not by works. We can't and we don't save ourselves. And we can't and we don't get faith on our own. Salvation comes through faith in life and in death, presently in life in all situations, and most importantly, when we close our eyes one last time, salvation from God through faith. What is faith? Do I have faith? What would happen if I did? These are some of the questions we're going to answer over the next few weeks in studying this word faith. Faith in the original Greek language is pistis. It implies persuasion. Being persuaded of something. It implies a moral conviction of a religious truth or the truthfulness of God. Especially it is reliance on Christ for salvation. It implies assurance and belief and fidelity. Webster's dictionary defines faith as unquestioning belief. In other words, we believe something without even questioning it. We believe it. When I did a word search this past week on the word faith in the Bible, you know what's really interesting? In the King James Version alone, there are 247 occurrences of the word faith, and there is only two occurrences in the Old Testament. Pretty interesting. In the NIV, in the New International Version, there are 458 occurrences. Five of them are in the Old Testament. And if interchanged with the word faithfulness, then you find more. But faith generally is something that is preached and taught in the New Testament concept of the covenants of God. The importance of having faith in God alone personally. In newer translations of the Bible, faith is something that we do rather than something that we have. And although one's faith is evident in the things that they do, one cannot succeed in this life and in death unless they have faith. You can do all you want with faith in the doctors, faith in your money, faith in your strength, faith in your knowledge. You can do all the works you want, but it will not save you unless you have faith in the heart. And what's so important about faith itself is that ultimately the object of one's faith, that thing or that person that they have faith in, determines the extent of their success and prosperity. In other words, there's a correlation between what you put your faith in or who you put your faith in and your success and prosperity. Through the prophet Habakkuk, we learn that God says the righteous will live by faith, or the righteous will live by their faithfulness. Faith here is a lifestyle of which the righteous live, trusting in God doing what's right. In Ephesians, Paul says that we're saved by grace through faith. Here we see that faith is a means by which one comes to be saved by God, not by human means, but by God. So what is faith that God speaks about in His Word? We're going to talk about this in the next few weeks using the acrostic FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. Today we begin with the letter F. Faith is fully relying on God. Full reliance on God. Or in some circles we call that frog. Fully relying on God. In Hebrews chapter 11 it tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then it gives us all kinds of examples in chapter 11 of Hebrews of people in God's Word and in the past history that were faithful. They exercised their faith. They had faith inside to trust fully in God. The King James Version says faith is the substance. It's being sure of what we hope for. We're absolutely sure of it when we hope for it. It's, in the King James Version, the evidence or the conviction. In other words, we're certain of it. We're sure and we're certain without a doubt. Faith is being sure and certain. No worries. We know it's going to happen. Now, if we're going to be sure and certain in all situations of life and death, it is of the utmost importance who our faith is in. The Bible tells us throughout the New Testament the importance of faith. Jesus said if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. There's all kinds of passages about the importance of trusting and fully relying on God. But sadly today we have put our faith in so many other things. We put our faith in doctors and friends and family and money and jobs and in the weather. These are all earthly things that we put our faith in. But there's only one way we can be sure. There's only one way we can be absolutely certain. And that is to fully rely on God because of who God is. God is eternal from everlasting to everlasting. He always was. He always will be. He's in the past. He's in the future. All at one time. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what already has happened. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. Past, present, and future. He's omnipresent, which means He is all-present. Present everywhere. Every place, every time, every situation. And He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Meaning there isn't anything that's too powerful that God can't handle. We use one word to describe God, and that word is sovereign. Sovereign. When we trust in earthly means to get us through life and through struggles and battles, when we rely on earthly means, we are taking God off the throne and putting ourselves in His place when this takes place. God never makes a mistake. God is never out of the loop. God is never lacking on information. He never lacks resources. He never lacks funds. He never lacks ability. He's never bewildered or confused. And He controls the weather. So when we grumble about the weather, we're grumbling about God's working and His sovereignty, believe it or not. Faith is, first of all, believing that God is who He says He is. Believing in Him and actually believing Him. There are a lot of people that believe in Him, but they don't believe Him. They don't turn to His Word and take this Word of God seriously. They think that was for back then. That's not for now. And if He is all of these which He is, faith in God will never leave us disappointed. God works in His own way, in His own timing. But the Bible tells us God works all things for good for those who love Him. Faith is falling on our knees first, not as a last resort. In prayer, when something happens, when trials come, when tribulation comes, when the storms come and the billows roll over us, falling on our knees first, not last when everything else doesn't work. Faith is being honest with God and ourselves, saying, God, I am sorry I have turned away from You. I cannot do this, but I know You can. Faith is confessing our inabilities and our weaknesses. In other words, giving up control. That's a hard one for a lot of us, giving up control. When something happens right away, we want to take control. We want to get on the internet and research it all out. We want to make the calls. We want to ream this guy out and this doctor out because they're not doing what we think they should do. And all of a sudden, we become the sovereign. We're in control. We're going to take control of the situation, and then it's going to work out. Instead, faith is confessing, as Jehoshaphat did, "Lord, we're powerless. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you." Greatest story, one of the greatest inspirational stories of the Bible is the story of Jehoshaphat and how he led his people to victory against the surrounding nations that came to war against them. When they went up over the ridge and looked down into the valley, the armies were already dead. Faith is crying out to God, convinced that He's our only hope, without knowing how He's going to do it. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. "God, I don't know how You're going to do this. This looks so impossible. I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know where the healing's going to come from. I don't know where the strength is going to come from. But God, I'm putting it in Your hands. Give me peace. Help me to understand. Help me to see that I might praise You, God, for Your unending faithfulness." Faith is believing that God hears us. Not that our prayers just go off into thin air. "Oh, if I say a couple of this and a couple of that, I'm good to go. And it's going to be okay." We need to understand that when our words come from our mouth, directed heavenward, they go into the ears of the Almighty, Eternal, Omniscient, Omnipresent, Omnipotent, Sovereign God, personally into His ears and to His heart. Faith is obeying what He tells us in His Word in obedience. Although it seems so silly at times, faith is trusting that this is the law of our lives, not what the world says. I'm so sick and tired of the news. Tired of day in and day out. Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Bruce Jenner, the Kardashians. Right? Are they our model for life? Or is God's Word our model for life? I like to have fun in the checkout counters at the stores when the line's full and they're waiting to check out. You read the tabloids and I say, "Oh no, she's pregnant again!" Or, "Yes, Jen had her baby." You see? It's craziness. It's insanity how we trust in the ways of the world to order our lives every single day. Living in these ways are by no means easy, are they? Faith takes work, but its rewards are eternal. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God in anything you do unless you have total reliance on God. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. Faith pays the bills. The saddest sight in the world are God's people worrying about money. A church that worries about money is a church without faith, and a church without faith is a dead church. But every day, churches all over the world worry where they're going to get the money. God owns all the money of the world. He's got all the money churches need. But what happens? We lose faith. We lose faith. Faith mends the body. We get concerned. Our loved ones get sick. We don't know what to do. We feel so helpless. We have to have faith in God, that God's way is best, that God will order what is best, that God is in complete control, although that may not seem comforting at the time. God will comfort those who have faith in Him. Faith plants the crops. It achieves the diploma. It puts food on the table. It puts a smile on our faces. It carries us through death. Faith helps us through the PSSAs. It's by faith day in and day out, that we see the glories of God pulling us through, keeping our head above water because of who He is, Almighty and Everlasting God. Being sure of Him and certain of His great power. Faith is the wings that give us the power to soar on the wind of God's Spirit. You know, the word Spirit in the Bible in the Hebrew is ruach. Ruach meaning breath. In the Greek language in the New Testament, it's pneuma, meaning air, like a breath of air. Faith is the wings that give us the power to soar on the wind of God's Spirit. We spread our wings and we allow God to raise us up above any of our earthly trials and tribulations, and even above death. And sometimes we're going to look like fools standing out in the world with our wings spread and there's no wind, because it doesn't seem like God is present or working. And we stand there like fools with our wings spread, looking up to heaven. Faith is trusting that His Spirit will blow on us in perfect timing and perfect place to lift us up. That's real faith, standing there when there's no wind, knowing that God will supply the wind. Faith in God is the most powerful tool that we have as Christians. Paul said to the Ephesians, "Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Take up the shield of faith. Remember that thing that happened the other day? You didn't know how you were going to get through that one thing? Or that time when those papers came in the mail, you didn't know how you were going to deal with that? Do you remember that time when, well, maybe that's right now for you. Maybe that's today for you. You don't know how it's going to work out. You can't see light at the end of the tunnel with what you're dealing with. Remember the story of Job? Who do you think allowed it? God who loves you. God who loves you because you are His dear creation allows it to build your faith. He allows it to strengthen you. He allows it to reveal His great power and glory to you, hoping that you will trust in Him and rely on Him. You see, faith doesn't keep you out of the battle. Faith protects you in the battle. And our battle ultimately is with the rulers and powers and authorities of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. Faith protects you in the battle. It's your shield. God, the arrows are coming from the left. The arrows are coming from the right. God, the arrows are coming from high and from low. They're coming in every direction. God, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know why, I don't know where, but one thing I am sure and certain of is that You are God and the victory is Yours. The only way we're going to survive this life and death is to have faith in God because of who He is. Because of who He is. Every single day, people run to the bookstores, they buy books, self-help books, to get them through. They do research on the internet. They call this person and they call that person. And as a last resort, they turn to God in faith. You see, the tools that the enemy uses against us are doubt, fear, worry, faith in ourselves. The enemy tries to tell us God isn't going to do that. He tries to remind us of what we did years ago, saying, "You did that. Why would God want to help you? Look at your life. Why would God want to help you?" He tries to cause us to doubt. He tries to cause us to fear, saying, "God can't help you. You're on your own. Your God is nowhere to be seen." And we know the Bible tells us He is. The enemy uses worry. Wait, something happens and we start to worry.
We start to worry, we start to pace, and we start to worry, how's this going to happen? What am I going to do? And we start to worry, and we start to pop pills, and we start to worry, and we just don't know what's going to happen and how this is going to be resolved. I was talking the other day to someone. I had this big idea that I was going to start a worrying business for some extra money. So this is a great idea. It's a get-rich-quick scheme, you know. I'm going to tell people that if you pay me, I'll worry for you. You don't have to worry anymore. You just pay me and I'll do it for you. Tell me all your problems and I'll spend my time worrying for you. And then you won't have to. And for even a little bit more money, I'll stay up all night and worry for you. In fact, as I was talking to this friend, I got this idea. I could even sell subscriptions, yearly subscriptions. You don't have to worry for a year. I'll worry about everything for you. The person said to me, sounds like you're trying to be God. You see, when we worry, we take all that responsibility on ourselves. And we're trying to be God. Instead, the Bible tells us to cast our cares on God. Cast our cares on Him. Our worries. Trusting. Fully relying on God. Worrying is such a hard thing to get away from. Fear, doubt, things that creep in that the enemy is crying to us, yelling at us. Your God's no good. Your God can't do it. Your God won't do it. But the Bible tells us God can and He will do it. Because He's God, because He loves us, and because of all those for thousands of years who were commended because of faith. We think of Abraham who was going to sacrifice his son. He drew the knife right to the point. The wood was there for the fire. He drew the knife in faith that if his son died, God could either raise him from the dead or provide another heir. We think of David facing Goliath. David had faith in the God that had protected him against the lions and the bears, and he said, if God can protect me against those, God can protect me, against this giant. There was Isaiah. Faith! It was faith that drove Isaiah to say, when he saw the glory of the Lord, sitting high and holy, here I am. Choose me, God. Choose me. It was faith that drove Paul throughout his world then on mission trips. It was faith that God promised by which we would be raised from the dead. The only way we're going to survive in this life and death is to have faith in God. I know a woman named Susan Gapper. Susan Gapper was a woman of great faith. She was born in 1756 and she died in 1838 at the age of 82. She was a resident of Britain, but she had come to America and she had died here in America. And if you ever go to Christ Church Cemetery in downtown Philadelphia, you'll find her grave there. And on her grave marker are these words. Her religious faith was founded upon conviction. In other words, she was totally convinced, totally sure, without a doubt. A full believer in the truths of the gospel. She believed what God told her in His Word. She was convicted of that. She was convinced of that. And on her tombstone it reads that she derived from it support under severe trials here and rested upon them all her hopes hereafter. In life and in death, her faith was founded upon conviction and belief in the gospel of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in life and death, convicted, convinced, supported by the good news of salvation through faith. Sure and certain in her trials here that despite what she could not see, God would carry her through, and He did, to eternal rest. The Bible tells us salvation is a gift of God through faith. Without faith in God, we are helpless, we're hopeless, and we're dead. And I mean personally as people and as a church. The F in faith, fully relying on God's abilities to save us in life and death, will never, ever leave us disappointed. We can rest assured of that. We can rest assured of that. And that leads us next week to when we learn about the A in faith, which is assurance. Let's pray. Lord our God, in times in our lives where